Appreciate it very much. He got my last name wrong. I got his last name wrong. I didn't know if it was Pepli or what it was, but I enjoy getting to know him by phone and then meeting him here. I was real encouraged about looking on your webpage, looking at some of your pictures there that you have about your bearing precious seed and some of that that you are doing. That's real encouraging, and that's a blessing. And just think, you put together some of those scriptures and somebody shares that scripture with other people and they get saved. And that really is a real blessing. And it is a real blessing to be able to hand somebody a Bible free. You know, that's really, many times people can't afford that. They can afford a cell phone, but they can't afford a Bible. You know, how that priority goes, especially people that don't have the Word of God. They don't have the faith yet, you know, to spend their money on that. They've seen what a cell phone has done, but they haven't seen what the Word of God has done. And so it's a blessing to be able to give people the Word of God, and especially think about it. You've handled it, you've put it together, and somebody's giving it out. And that's a great thing. So praise God. I hope things work out for you in a greater way on that as well. Okay, I'd like to introduce my family. First of all, I'm going to introduce my wife, okay, Jennifer. And I'm real thankful that she's here. Stephen, okay, he's the next. Stephen, you know, all right. And then Sophia, and then the beginning of all things for me, my mother, okay? All right, Linda, and she's actually from Grafton. We're going to go up there. She lives in Fargo now, but she is originally from Grafton, so we're going to take her there, drop her off there, see her sister-in-law, and then we're going up to Canada, up to our supporting church up there in Pembina, and Pastor Sullivan. If this morning what we're going to do is we're going to share with you just a short video, 6 minutes and 50 seconds. You got 6 minutes and 50 seconds this morning? Okay, thank you. And what we'll do, what you'll see in that video is you're going to see the history of Albania, some of the history. The Albanian people, once again, are from the Illyrian tribe. They're where Paul had preached to them at one time, their ancestors, not the ones that are there today, but right... That was a couple of years ago, wasn't it? But anyway, it's such a blessing to be able to live in a country where the Bible really comes alive. Some of their traditions and customs, which I'll be sharing with you throughout the message, because some of those traditions and customs still are alive today for the Albanian people. And then after you see some of the history of Albania and some of their culture as well through the DVD here, then it'll bring you to our ministry. We have been over in Albania for 17 years, been with Baptist World Mission 20 years, and 17 years on the field over there. And as this brother over here has shared, Brother Gibson shared with me about his Navy experience, that's where I got saved, July 9th, 1984, out in the U.S., out in the Mediterranean Ocean on the USS Truett. And it was 1805 hours when I trusted Christ as my Savior. The reason I know 1805 is because I was scheduled to go on watch. And so I was really conscious about hitting the rack, be able to get up at midnight and go out and do my watch. So I just, after I prayed to receive Christ, I just opened my eyes. Oh, it's 6:05. You knew that, right? Not 18:05. Actually, 6:05. But anyway, and then came back to Fargo, and got in a little Baptist church there, Bible Baptist Church, and Cecil Kramer discipled me and then baptized me as well. And then after went on to Bible college in Wisconsin, where I met Jennifer, and then she became my wife. We were sitting in seats like this, you know, and the alphabet went A, B, C, D, okay, and then, okay, F, there was E, F, so A, B, C, D, E, F, she was in front of me. And I was behind there, so it was very interesting to see her through class, and then eventually. And some of the other people in our class, like we had Cindy and Ron and Mike and the other Snively clans there, and Scott as well, Schaefer, and so all that big tribe. But anyway, let's get to our get right to it. Okay, thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the field of Albania with you today, and I'm so thankful that you took time out of your schedule to come here today. Thank you.
This was one of our first questions. questions in 1992 when Dr. Ron Brooks presented the country, our research brought us to its location east of the heel of Italy. Kosovo is to the northeast and Greece is southeast. Albanian people are descendants of the ancient Illyrian civilization. Albania has historically been part of the Roman province of Dalmatia. Scripture claims that the Apostle Paul's evangelistic journeys led him through Albania. For we read in Romans 15:19, through many signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Since the coastline of Albania borders the Adriatic and Ionian seas, the climate is subject to a variety of weather patterns. These conditions create wonderful climate for olive growing, lemons, and citrus fruits. Albanians have a great desire for beef, goat, and lamb meat. A lamb head is considered a delicacy for special occasions. On the coast, fresh fish is served daily. Ice cream, baklava, lakum are all irresistible Albanian sweets. In the Albanian culture, there's always time for coffee. Coffee lovers enjoy cappuccino and the historical Turkish coffee. During the 14th and 15th centuries, the Ottoman Empire fought to overtake political and religious power of Albania. Only two of the 26 battles against the Ottomans are considered Albanian losses. Because of the effects of 500 years of Ottoman rule in Albania, religiously, Islam became a majority. Religious statistics show that Albania is approximately 70% Muslim, 20% Orthodox, and 10% Catholic. Evangelical Christianity, which would also include all Protestants and all other Bible believers, is approximately 0.5%. It is obvious that the words of Jesus in Matthew 9:37 are relevant. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Until 1912, Albania remained under Ottoman occupation. However, in the city of Vlorë, on November 28, 1912, Ismail Qemal claimed national independence. Under the leadership of Enver Hoxha, a communist party formed. Albania became known as the People's Socialist Republic of Albania. In 1947, Albania built their first railways. This work connected people and is considered a major achievement of the party. Farming was done under cooperative system. Because of dedication, agriculture in Albania became self-sufficient. Albanian schools have been minimal. Consequently, the country has only had formal education for 100 years. In 1967, Enver Hoxha proclaimed Albania as the world's first atheistic state. Hundreds of mosques and Islamic libraries were destroyed. Churches were turned into cultural centers, and all religious material, including Bibles, were burned. Led by Dr. Sali Berisha, a form of democracy replaced socialism. In April of 2009, a notable work of Sali Berisha was the country's acceptance into NATO. In 2013, from the moderate socialist party, Edvin Rama won the office of prime minister. Since February of 1998, as a family, Mike, Jennifer, Amos, Philip, and Stephen had partnered with Dave and Faye Young in the capital city of Tirana. For 8 years, we ministered together in cities and villages. We have had the privilege of several homeschool teachers. We are so grateful for our current teacher, Miss Rebecca Manning. She also helps with weekly children's ministry at the Loch Ness Work. Our desire is to see more Albanian people come into a proper relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue to go from door to door with the gospel. We also use other activities such as vacation Bible time, youth rallies, and summer camp. The Christmas season is a constant blessing for the church. Married couples enjoy annual Valentine's banquet. Since 2012, the New Hope Baptist Church has partnered with Operation Renewed Hope, directed by Dr. Jan Milton and Brother Rick Williamson. This evangelistic medical team comes to Albania every other year. Currently, over 1,000 patients have been seen and 200 professions of faith have been made. One of our greatest life lessons was to present Arben Guja and Aryan Abdi with the diploma of Graduate of Theology degree. Months later, it was a tremendous blessing to see the ordination council made up of Dr. Kevin Brosman, Dr. Ron Groschel, and Pastor Mel Kendall, and others review the candidates. Pastor Arben and his wife, Aida, are currently in the process of starting another work. Your prayers are appreciated. Pastor Arian continues to run the church office, translate materials, preach in both the Toronto Church and the Loch Ness Work. Pastor Ari and his wife also hold weekly Bible studies in the nearby Hope Center for teen orphans. The deep desire of our hearts is to see God's people discipled and trained on a Bible Institute level. Hosea relates the deep burden of the Lord for Israel by stating in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." If further growth is going to be seen in the Loch Ness Work, we need to see another meeting place. Because of cultural challenges, it is imperative to find land and a place to erect a building for worship. Your prayers are extremely coveted. As we look forward to the future, please continue to also pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into His harvest. As missionaries, we want to thank you for your love, your prayers, and your support. We count it a God-given privilege to partner with you in reaching the people of Albania.
Okay, that's... I've got the microphone on. All right. It's kind of hard to narrow down 17 years of work in 6 minutes and 50 seconds, don't you think? But boy, people's attention span, they say, hey, that's enough. Hey, okay. And then I can understand. I'd be the same way. Wow, is this missionary going to get done or what? But anyway, if you go with me to Matthew chapter 28, we just briefly looked at it in Sunday school. Are we okay? Are you hearing okay? Is the microphone projecting enough for you? Okay. If we could stand together, would you mind standing with me? And we'll read verses 16 through 20. If we could read it together, we just go through this and then we will have a message on it and be done. Okay? Let's read together. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the word. We ask, Lord, that this morning that you would bless your word. Make it, Lord, relevant to our lives today. Help each one, we pray, and we thank you. And may decisions and hearts be made today that would honor you. And may your spirit speak to their spirits and all of us, Lord, including myself. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated this morning. Thank you once again for coming and sharing this time together. 17 years ago, that's quite a while ago. Maybe you can remember where you were 17 years ago. Maybe you've forgotten. But anyway, we met this couple, Dave and Faye Young. They were like the first wave of missionaries that went over into Albania. You have to realize that since 67, there was no religion allowed whatsoever. And so the religious vocabulary was gone. Much of who God was erased from the minds of the people. And under that deep of communist regime that they had,
every person's mind was its own police officer. You were only allowed to think the thoughts of the party, what fit the party. And that included from the farmer up to the teacher to medical. All of them had to have just that mindset. So after there was Christians that were in bordering countries like Macedonia and Greece, and they would pray for the fall of the communist wall so that they could go into Albania and spread the gospel, because they know that those people would more than likely be hungry to know who God is. And so the communist walls had fallen there in the 90s. And Dave and Faye were of that first wave of missionaries that went into Albania. They were 54 years old when they went to the country, and since retired, and we replaced them. But I won't forget the day when we got there in Albania. They picked us up in this old blue Land Rover, you know, like the tractor kind, not the sport, you know, Land Rovers. You know, you talk about the, you know, military ones and ones that are just plain mountain goats, really what they are. They just climb and go. And so they picked us up, and Stephen was 2 years old at the time, as he had shared in Sunday school. And I can remember Faye taking Stephen and setting him on her lap and saying, "We're going to have fun with this one," you know, growing up these kids, you know, on the mission field. And we did have some fun. In fact, we had a great time, and she was like grandma, and Brother Young was like grandpa to our family, and we were very thankful for the 8 years that we served together. You know, that day that they picked us up, that was a day that changed our lives. The direction of our life just changed from that time till this point right now, today. It's, you know, as being missionaries and to be identified with the field of Albania. Well, if you look at Matthew chapter 28, I believe it's a day that just totally changed their lives. And maybe you've had a day like that in your life where your life had just totally changed and direction for your life had just changed. Maybe the day of your salvation. Maybe the day when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you said, "Wow, everything has just changed." And as we see here for these disciples, their life is not going to be the same. You know, their liberties and freedoms are going to be, in fact, what they want to do in life is going to be totally changed to do what the Lord wants them to do in life. And that's what we find here. If you look with me in verse number 16, these disciples are today our teachers. They're an example for us this morning for these short moments that we have here. And it says in verse number 16, and then he says, Matthew records, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So we know that the disciples met with Jesus in Galilee. We see it in verse number 16. Also, we need to consider what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 6. It says that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. In other words, the resurrected Lord was seen of 500 brethren at once. So what we're looking at here, what we're understanding from what we can understand putting the scriptures together, that this is a big meeting of people meeting together with the resurrected Christ. You know, they would have seen Him crucified, and they would have understood that He was buried, but resurrected. Now, these disciples, the early disciples there in John chapter 20 and verse number 19, the 11 and some of the other ones that were together, they had seen the Lord previous to this, but now many are seeing Him. John chapter 20, 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were all shut, where the disciples were assembled together. Why were the disciples assembled together in that area? The scripture goes on to tell us, for fear of the Jews. Now, if your leader, if your pastor had just been beaten and killed, right, you would think to yourself, wow, let's think about going out and about in the rest of this place, because you don't know what was going to happen to you. Was the same thing going to happen to you? And that's what they were afraid of. And coming in, the scripture goes on to say, when the doors were all shut and the disciples were assembled together for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. Boom! He appears unto them. He's in His new and glorified state, and so He appears to them, and He says unto them, peace be unto you. Wow, good words to hear in time of difficulty, huh? Especially words that have meaning, that really have a substance. They're not just something blowing in the wind, but rather something that they can build their lives on. And I'm also reminded, many times I'm reminded of Christianity is God's Spirit helping our spirit. Or in other words, what God speaks to is our spirit. We worship Him in spirit and in truth, but we worship Him in our spirits. And so, as these disciples were there, the peace came from the inside out, and not from the outside in, because God was speaking to their spirits. The disciples went to Galilee for the reason of, in verse number 17, and it says, and when they saw Him, what did they do? Help out. What does it say? They what? Worshipped Him. Let's talk about that for a moment here. They worshipped Him. Now, what is worship? If you could just give me a couple words here this morning. What is worship? Let's do this. What is it?
Kissing towards.
Kissing towards. Fantastic. You agree with him? Raise your hand. You don't agree with him? Raise your hand anyway. Yeah, let's explain that. He's good. He knows. He understands. Okay? Very good. All right? He said kissing towards. And let's just explain that for a moment here. And it says here, and they worshipped him. In other words, it wasn't like, you know, we get many things, you know, when you ask people what is worship. And, you know, they say singing, giving your tithe and your offering, doing all these works, okay? But he's got it correct. Bottom line. Here's the bottom line, okay? The bottom line is this. Do you remember when Paul writes, he says, beware of what? What's he say beware of? Beware of? Wolves? Sheep clothing? Okay, that's good, but how about beware of dogs? Oh yeah, beware of dogs. That's right. Yeah, you got me there. Okay, beware of dogs. Because dogs were such a great part of society. In fact, they're a great part of society in Albania, where I live. We border Greece. The Bible language and culture comes alive there in Albania because we still are in those conditions of some of those customs and cultures that are there. Now, you have dogs, maybe you have a farm dog, maybe you have a pet dog that you let in the house, maybe you have some of those, okay, I see some girls smiling. They understand what I'm talking about here. In Albania, not everybody has a dog. They don't all have food to eat themselves. How are they going to feed this dog and take this dog to a vet to get shots? And come on, are you kidding me? We don't have shots for ourselves, let alone having shots for this dog. So our dogs run the streets, just like they probably had done at the time when Paul was writing, beware of dogs. Now what happens? In our culture, I walk out the gate of my house, in my yard, right? And I go out into the neighborhood, and the dogs that live on the street in that neighborhood are our neighborhood dogs. And so what happens is, once in a while, you know, we give them a little something. Why? So that we remain in a good relationship. So we don't have to beware of dogs. We know the dogs. But have somebody come through that neighborhood that doesn't know those neighborhood dogs, especially at night. And man, people that visit us in Albania say, oh, those dogs kept us up all night. Well, they're supposed to. There are neighborhood dogs. People that come through that neighborhood that don't belong in that neighborhood, the neighborhood dogs bark and they bite as well. Right? Beware of dogs. That's what he was talking about. And they would understand, boom, okay, dogs that are not part of our neighborhood, when I go into other places when I go into other teachings or other places, right? So dogs are a great part to explain the scriptures. God even uses them in a great way. You take back the scripture to the original Greek, and what you're finding the Greek when you come to the word worship here, the example that we are given is the relationship between a dog and the master. And our dogs in our neighborhood, right? There comes times when they're happy and they show this relationship. And you put out your hand, right? And they begin to lick you. And what they're showing you is respect. They're showing you the respect that's needed to you as a master, right? And so here, the disciples, when it talks about worship here, we also see Jesus pulling this out of the scripture as well. If you'll go with me to Luke chapter 7. If you go to Luke chapter 7, we'll see that the Lord, He brings this example alive, but He puts Himself there, right, in that position, the position of the Master, and He puts people in the position of worship. And it comes alive. Verse number 45. Here He is. He's having supper, right? And He's at Simon's. And we see in verse number 45, and He says this as He's talking to Simon. He says, and let's read this together in verse number 45. Can we read that verse together? Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. So what we see here is, we see this, He's talking to Simon, He says, look, Simon, you have not respected me. You have not shown me outwardly. You have not shown me any respect. In Albania, in the culture again, in the custom that we live in, it's not wrong to be kissed on the cheeks. Now, I know that doesn't sit well with you, especially in conservative North Dakota with Swedes, Norwegians, and Germans. Huh. Okay. What are we going to do now when a guy walks up to you and kisses you? Right? Men with men. What he's doing is he's showing you the greatest respect that you can get. Okay, you would say, sure, you show somebody respect by, oh, you need my pickup? Sure, I'll let you use my pickup. But what if you don't have a pickup? You want to use my snowmobile? Sure, I'll let you use it. Go ahead, you can go ahead and use it. But what if you don't have a snowmobile? Everyone has a kiss to show respect. Now, I'm not advocating you start kissing each other, okay? Because I know you won't do it anyway. As soon as I leave, it's going to go out of your mind anyhow. But Jesus rebuked and He said, Simon, you have all these things. You've given me meat. We've sat together here. But you still have not respected me. Or in other words, He said, you haven't worshipped me. And this is where this all comes from. And we know that Christ is superior, right? In order to show that superiority. So this lady here, if you go on and look at the scripture, it says, since the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my what? Feet. Respect. Ultimate. Man, you ever try to get close to somebody's feet? Woo! You get close to somebody's foot, you know. They start backing up a little bit, you know, and these funny feelings start coming over them, you know, and it's all really, it's really kind of interesting to see happen here. But here she is at the feet of Jesus kissing, and it's amazing that Simon, he sees the example right before his eyes and he doesn't even wake up. It's because his heart is not there with the Lord. If his heart was there, he would have given the Lord the worship and respect, the kiss that is allotted to him because he is superior. Matthew Henry writes, he says this, he says, all that see the Lord through the eyes, okay, of faith are obliged to worship Him. When you really see the Lord as the Master, as superior, everything changes. He's no longer just something, but He is the Lord. He is the superior Savior. And we are obliged, when we see Him, obliged to worship Him. And as we think about this, we look at the Scripture here and we see here what it says. If you go back with me to Matthew chapter 28, and I want you to look at a word in verse number 16, the verse before 17. Another very interesting word here. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had what?" What's it say? Can you finish it there for me? What's it say? "Had appointed them." Very good. "Had appointed them." Interesting work. We have, I know Brother Gibson is military. Anybody else get military? Yes, you were, ma'am. Anybody else have military in your family? Veterans? Any veterans? Veterans? Okay. Yeah, right. Now let's ask ourselves the question here. What happens if you're in the military and you don't go to the appointed place? No, she's just not even thinking about it. She says, "No, I can't even imagine not going to the appointed place." You don't want to know, right? But I'm the one asking, so I got to brig time, busting rank, things like that. We can't make you do it, but we can make you wish you had done it, right? All those things come, and you know what I'm talking about. But there's something a bit deeper here. Jesus is using an ancient Greek military term when He says this. When He says, I'm telling you, I'm appointing you to the place. We know He says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 32, and He says, "After I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Right? And so the implication here is that He is going to die on the cross. He is going to be resurrected. And He says, "When I go before you into Galilee," right? It's already implied that they were to meet Him in Galilee. He's not even gone to the cross yet. But He says, "I'll meet you in Galilee after I'm resurrected." In other words, He's giving them the appointment. He's appointing them to that place. Now, you go to war, what's the number one tactic in going to war? Number one tactic is confusion. You attack from, that's what the Blue Angels are all about. You can attack from every side where the enemy doesn't know where you're coming from, therefore makes them confused and it makes them in this state of what's happening. And what is the reason for that confusion? Destruction. Can you understand why it was so important for them to meet in the appointed place? Because Jesus is not talking about physical destruction here. He's talking about spiritual destruction. He's talking about, if you don't meet with Me, your life can become so confused that you may even get to the point where you're destroyed spiritually. Wow. And you see, there was a place appointed for them, a place where that they can go to meet together with the Lord. The word is tassel in the original language that is there, that appointment there. And you know, you and I have that appointment with the Lord, right? My place physically changes quite a bit these days. And so I'm not back home with my kitchen table there in Albania with my coffee in the morning meeting with the Lord, but it changes different places but there's one place where it does not change. And where is that place? "Know ye not that you are the temple?" The Lord met in the temple. And we are to meet with the Lord. Your geographical area might change. The Snively's are visiting here. They go back to Ohio. But right here in their heart should never change. I swear, so I got to meet with the Lord. I got to meet with the Lord. And that's what we should be doing is, And missionaries, as if we're ever going to have missions and missionary program, if we're going to ever have missionaries and the mission program continue, first of all, we need to meet at the place where the Lord has appointed and He wants to meet in our hearts and in our lives. Secondly, we know that there's a power that was given. Let's look here in verse number 18. Let's read that verse together. Can we read that? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. As we look here, we see that Jesus was given the power. Christ was given the power. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse number 9, it says, and being fashioned as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. So if He humbled Himself, He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, we see what happens. The next part is exaltation. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name. In other words, He's going from death to exaltation. His name is above every name. He's lifted Him up. The disciples learned the magnitude of the power that Christ was given. We know that He was given power to rule individually. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. It says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They knew that He had power to rule individually, that He also had power to govern globally. Many times we think about what is our political situation, or the world situation, the economic situation, what is happening around the world. And sometimes we just have to stop and think of this point. What it says here in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven, okay, and sat on the right hand of God. In other words, He was in a position of honor and a position of authority. It matches verse number 18 of chapter 28. Jesus spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when He had left, He was seated at the right hand. For Acts chapter 2 and verse number 34 tells us, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord, L-O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In other words, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D equals Yahweh, God. He says the Lord, God, the Godhead, the Trinity, the Godhead says to my Lord, capital L, capital O, small O, small R, small D, my Savior, Lord and Savior, my Savior. What did He say? What did the Lord say to my Savior, my Lord? He said, sit thou on my right hand in that position of honor and power. Sit there on that right hand. So the disciples understood that Christ was given this power by God. They also knew that He had power to forgive man's sins. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 6 tells us, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith He to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go in to thine house. You know what this has to do with us? Here's what it has to do with us. Is that when you find your place, you're to understand that God wants to also empower you. And so you need, if we're going to continue with the missionary program, we need to meet the Lord in the place so that we can be empowered if we're going to continue with missions and a missionary program. And that's how it's really done. It's interesting that some years ago that there was a parade, maybe a large parade where there's all these floats and everything, you know, where they have those. You've seen them Maybe you've seen them on TV. Maybe you've personally witnessed these floats and all these. You know, you might have enjoyed some of that, and you might have enjoyed somebody throwing candy at you or something like that. And you know how these parades are. But there was one float that got stopped. And the reason is the motor had run out of gas. The motor had run, so it stopped all this action. Wouldn't you know? Have you ever heard of the oil company? I forgot the oil company's name. It was one of the oil companies that their float had run out of gas and stopped everything. Standard Oil is what it was. Standard, their float. You just think about that for a minute. Christians run out of gas, run out of power. So it's so important to understand that the Lord has the power. You ever sit there sometimes and speak with the Lord? Just talk to Him and say, Lord, I know You have the power to do this because all power is given unto You in heaven. You're ruling in heaven and on earth. And You're ruling on earth. The Lord can do it. And through us, He knew that that band of disciples was going to need power because He was going to give them the plan. There's the place, there's the power, and of course, there's the plan. Let's read it. Let's clean up here and finish up here. Verse 19 and verse number 20. Can we read that together? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There is also the plan of God. The plan of God is to disciple the world. It's to make them believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, to see them baptized, to see them become disciples of Christ, become true followers of Christ. In other words, learners. That's why this morning when I showed you, one of the greatest moments in my life is when those two men received their graduate of theology degrees. That was a great moment because here you are, you have a missionary on the field. I had help from some other missionaries from time to time, actually. But most of their training came from just myself training them day in, day out, day in, day out. And then finally it comes to the point where they're not only saved, baptized, but they have been discipled. And they receive this diploma that marks the point where that, yes, they have completed about this amount of work. But the word that is being used in verse number 20, it says, when Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things, carries with it the idea as we look to the Scripture for an example, like a keeper of a prison. Have you heard about El Chapo? You've heard of El Chapo that was escaped from the prison in Mexico. It went through an underground tunnel and he was, you know, just an unbelievable situation. Somebody didn't guard well. And the Scripture, as the Scripture points to us, it's not just receiving the Word. As I was reading yesterday this funny illustration. Imagine, if you will, here's a man who owns a business. And he says, I'm going away for a while. He goes away and he says, but I'm going to send you instructions time by time. And I want you to read those instructions, okay? And they all agree, yes, okay. He goes away and he comes back in a couple of years and he says, how did things go here? How did it go here? He says, you know, I walked in and I found, you know, this one doing this and that one doing that. And he said, please get everybody together. Let me talk to you for a moment. And the question was, did you receive my letters? Oh, yes, we received your letters. We've got those letters, in fact. He says, some of us like them so well we memorize parts of them. And we can tell you what you wrote. And he said, yeah. And he said, not only that, somebody, one of the workers said, not only that, there was times we took those letters and we've studied what you said. We studied it. And then he says, but did you do what I wrote in those letters? And it was obvious from the way the people were that they didn't do what he wrote. Study, study, study. But guarding, as he says, teaching them to observe all things. In other words, take for yourself, not just study it and learn it mentally, but take for yourself and do it and guard doing it. Keep doing it. And that's how you guard it. You don't allow like El Chapo for it to just escape from you and you stop doing it. Yeah. And that's how we're going to do missions. So, if we could put it into steps, first of all, step one in reaching the world is to daily have a place to meet with the Lord. You've got to do that. And then if we're going to put it into steps, step two, in reaching the world, daily receive God's power in our life. And if we're going to put it into steps, step three, reach the world, is by faith daily live out the plan of the Lord, what He has for you. Daily. I can't do what you do, right? And you can't do what I do. But if you do what the Lord has for you, we will do this. We won't just be reading these letters. We won't just be having this time together. We won't just be memorizing these letters, but rather we'll be doing it. And we will at that same time be reaching the world for Christ. And we call that mission outreach. Now, today, as you're there, you don't know me very well. He came and got up here, spoke to us, and I don't know you very well, but yet at the same time, I know that as a believer to one believer, or one believer to another believer, right? We have to do this, don't we? We have to allow the Lord to work in our lives. And we have to allow it to the point that we might be able to say this, Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, if that's your calling in my life, allow me to guard that calling and allow me to continue that. You see, we make decisions, right? And we think that that's, okay, that's done. But really, isn't it making the decision and then guarding that decision, going over that decision daily, so that we can fulfill that decision? Because if we don't do that daily, if we don't manage the decisions that we make, guess what? We're going to have to remake those decisions over and over and over again. Yeah. Maybe the Lord has something special for your life today. You know, first thing to do is just say, Lord, I'm here. I'm available to you to use my life. Two things that I've seen out of people that farm or live in farm communities is this. I've seen some that have had just a great mind because their mind has not been clouded by the rest of the world. Secondly, a work ethic that is very strong. And both of those are needed in the Lord's work. Both of those are needed. But the other part that is needed is not just reliance upon self, but reliance on the Lord to help you through it all, to give it to the Lord and allow Him to give you the power that you need. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we want to thank You for these that are here this morning. And Lord, maybe there's someone here without Christ as their personal Savior. I'd like to pray for them. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I don't know Jesus personally as my Savior. Please pray for me. Is there anyone like that? you just quietly raise your hand. I'll pray for you. You say, you know, I'm not real sure if today was my last day. I'm the only one that should be looking around at this moment. But maybe you're not sure of that. You say, please pray for me. Anyone at all, you just quietly raise your hand. Is there anyone? Maybe you're here today as a believer and you say, you know, I need to go on to believer's baptism. We talked about that in the Sunday school hour. You say, you know, I need that. Brother Fiocchi, is there anyone like that? You quietly raise your hand. I'll pray for you. You can talk with a pastor, pastor's wife, whatever, and they can direct you and help you. Maybe there's someone like that. You say, you know, I haven't done that, but I need to do that. Anyone like that at all? You just quietly raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Anyone? This morning in our message, it all comes down to what are we going to do with what we've learned about meeting the Lord in that place, about being filled with the power of God in our lives, and about working out of His plan. Do you know the Lord's plan for your life? Maybe you don't know, but maybe you'd say, Brother Fiocchi, I am willing to leave myself open to the Lord's leading. Pray for me. I've not made any decision like that yet, but pray for me. I've not done that yet in my life. I've not said, Lord, I'm available for whatever You'd have for my life. And you quietly raise your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Fiocchi. Is there anybody like that? Just quietly where you are. Just quietly. Right there. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, I saw that. Anyone else?